You ready?
This is the Mike Salk Show, serviced by Jaffco Plumbing and Sewer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Are you ready?
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Are you ready for a good day?
All right, 8 o'clock hour here of the Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com, 710 Sports app, soon to be. On Apple Podcasts, I think.
I got a follow-up on that.
Oh, yeah?
So do we know? We emailed and we're asking. A lot of people are wondering what's happening with Apple Podcasts.
Yes.
I checked on Wednesday and was resubmitted, hoping it's any minute.
Oh, any minute.
So minute,
keep checking.
Minute sounds better than any day.
Any minute. What does that mean? Like, I don't know. At any moment, the Apple could finally get it all figured out. So, all right. Well, that sounds good. It's been a technology challenging week or so. It feels like we've had all kinds of technology glitches. We had the Apple thing. We had the issue with Macklemore yesterday. We had trouble with a musical pot. I don't even know what that means, but Morris said there's a pot issue. We have pots in radio. It's something that you use on the board. These are a lot of things that I don't know how to use. I know how to turn my mic on and off, and that's about it.
Tech jargon. And, I mean, you had an issue with service stations. There's a lot going wrong
this
week. Well,
it wasn't a service station. It was a gas station. But it was 2.5 miles off the highway. That's really pretty weak, I got to tell you. So, G is going to join me here in a minute or two as we wrap up some of those technical issues as well. Those are a good thing, though. The longer we can wait to talk to G, the less time he has to bust on me. So I think it's probably a good thing if we can have some technical issues there. We'll talk some Seahawks with him. Want to talk some Huskies, man. I mean, the texter a moment ago with Brock is right. Absolutely right. Like, Brock is seeing crimson. And he may have quit the Huskies and gone out to do a game at Pullman this week out of nothing more than just sheer embarrassment over what he saw on Saturday. And look, I mean, G has a pretty up-close and personal understanding of how these inner workings go because of going through the recruiting process with first his son, Baby G, and now his second son, Zion, is also a pretty good wide receiver. And, you know, he knows what's up, but he knows all the players. And I don't mean, like, the players on the field. I mean, like, the players in the game, the coaches, the recruiters, the people that make this stuff happen. And I don't think he's that surprised by what's happening right now at UW. Although I know G's a Jimmy Lake fan. I think he's still, I don't know. Let's see if we can get him. Is he here? Do we have G?
I think we're good.
Oh, no. G, are you there?
Here's the thing, everybody at 710. Here's the thing.
No.
I have, the last time I was invited over, I was coming over to the house over here. Brock and Salk was around. I come over on Fridays. And then one day I showed up and they're like, they don't live here anymore. and so they didn't live there anymore. And so, you know, I'd be in the neighborhood. I'd just kind of be walking by and they would never invite me over to play. And so I was like, okay, it's all good.
Yeah.
And then here we are years later.
Yeah.
8 o'clock on a Friday, and I'm back.
Oh, God.
What's up, Mike Salk?
What's up, dude? How are you? Welcome to the barbecue.
Man, I'm so happy to be back. On 710? Man, what is good, man? You doing a show by yourself?
Yes.
How's everything going for you, man?
Well, I think it's going okay. It's fun.
Yeah.
I got a crew. I'm not by myself. I've got a crew. We got Maura, who I know you know well. I'm pretty sure. Aren't you guys working together this Sunday?
Yes, we are. We're going to be at Touchdown City. We're going to be on the main stage. It's called the End Zone.
Yes.
And Maura is going to come and help us out with fantasy football.
All right.
And nobody does
yeah.
better than her. Now, Justin, is that his name?
Yeah. Have you met Justin
What's up,
yet?
G?
Man, I met that player getting some coffee. I met him at the coffee, and me and him, we were acknowledging how selfish people are around the building in the morning time.
Mm. Whoa. I'm new. I don't think we can call me selfish yet.
Why are people selfish in the morning?
Because nobody wants to remake the coffee, man.
I think they're like that all the time, though, aren't they?
Who is they?
It's been an issue for years here. Someone put some passive aggressive signs up at one point.
I've seen it. I've never made coffee here, so I maybe I'm a part of that list. Of course, I've never drank coffee here.
You don't drink coffee, Mike?
Heck no. Disgusting.
That's your problem.
Coffee's disgusting. What do you mean that's my problem?
I mean, that's why, you know.
That's why what?
Well,
why don't you come out and say it? That's why what?
Well,
what do you mean? No, this is the G thing. He alludes to things he wants to say, but then when it actually gets called out, he's like, Oh, actually, I don't want to say it.
I mean, this is corporate America, too.
Oh,
I want to get a call from upstairs at HR like, gee, you said this. I've never been called upstairs by alluding to something, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know what? At the end of the day, Mike, I'm just got to tell you, it's good to be back.
It's good to have you.
It is really good to be back. What are we talking about, Blair?
Well, it's a good question. I hope you brought something to this cookout. This is more of a potluck. So I know you were worried that
You like potato salad?
What do you think? Of course I like potato salad. You put enough mayonnaise in there, I'll eat anything.
See, slow down on the mayonnaise, song. Slow down on
mayonnaise.
Wait a minute. Is that what this new Mike Salk show is about? Is it going to be extra mayonnaise?
No. There's always anything. I love mayonnaise. And now that Kyle is no longer here to be disgusted by it, like, do you remember a few years ago when that girl was eating mayonnaise out of a jar at the football game?
Well, that is disgusting.
I know, and it turned out it wasn't actually what she was doing. But everyone else was like vomiting over it. I was like, I can see it. Mayonnaise is creamy. Like, I'm all in.
I remember when Boy Howdy grabbed that thing out of the garbage can.
Oh, that was gross.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy's, he's nasty. Well, let's talk about a few things. Now we've wasted most of our time.
What we got?
Well, I first wanted to ask you about the whole UW thing, because that, I mean, G.
Yes.
That was ugly.
Yeah, it was ugly.
It's really ugly. And I know you have such a close connection to what's going on. Mm-hmm. The concern for me is, what happens next? Because if perception dictates reality in college football, what is the perception of UW right now, even amongst local recruits, as they see them lose to Montana, get blown out in Michigan, and God knows what's going to happen this weekend against Arkansas State?
I mean, it's ugly, right? The perception is ugly. But this is 2021. This is the days of social media. This is the days of something happens and boom, and then you forget about it because something else has happened, right? No longer are the days where you just sit there and dwell. Sure, those losses that UW had were terrible. But you know what fixes that? You win, baby. That fixes everything.
Can they, though?
Yeah.
Do you think this team can win more than a few games in the Pac-12?
Yes, they can, and let's talk about how.
Okay. Sammy?
They lost. Hold on. They lost these last two games. They lost to Montana at home. How much did they run the ball? Oh, they rushed for 65 yards. You can't win football games running the ball under 100 yards in a game. And number two, you go out to the University of Michigan, you go out there, and you rush for 50 yards, right? So as much as football seems so complex and all of the different offenses and the spread offenses and everything's cute and all that stuff, it still gets simple. You run the ball. Mm. In order for the pass game to be able to open up, you have to be able to run the ball. And I think the University of Washington, UW, they just have to go back to the basics. You talk about a UW organization that's always built upon defense, built upon running the ball. Look, let's not get too cute with everything like that. You're able to run the ball, good things are happening. And so that made it easy for Montana, for those defensive ends, to pin their ears back and be like, look, they can't run the ball. So look, all we're doing, if that quarterback drops back, boom, we're not even thinking about nothing else. We're going after the quarterback. Mm-hmm. We don't have to worry about setting the edge. We don't have to worry about them not filling the gaps and everything like that. It makes it easier for a defense to play defense when you are only one-dimensional.
No, I understand that. But, I mean, it's not like they haven't tried to run the ball. They didn't do it very well. I mean, like,
hold on. If you can't run the ball, Sark, then it's going to be a very tough time.
But that's my point. And I think it's going to be a hard time even this week against Arkansas State. And Brock said it's a team that scored 90-something points in their first two games. It's not like the Husky defense has been much better.
Arkansas State is good.
Dude, you start off 0-3 against two teams that aren't even, you know, Power 5?
Okay, well, let's simplify it.
All right.
UW, then you have to stop the run.
All right.
And you didn't. You come off a week in which you gave up 300 and something yards to that team up north. I'm not even allowed to say their name. You gave up 300 plus yards
it's
to that team
up north that didn't lose to Oregon this week. I think is the
we'll
name
get
of the
to that
team.
In a second. And you know what? You know, the Buckeyes, Ohio State, they did not stop the run. But back to the Huskies. They got to be able to stop the run. So Arkansas State is a very good team coming into town. And as far as perceptions on recruiting is one of those things. It's kind of like the club, right? Like, hey, on Thursday nights in college, we're all going to this spot, right? Like, oh, that's the cool spot. And then all of a sudden, the next summer or the next year, there's another cool spot. Things can change, so you have to stay on top of things for your spot to be that designation. So as far as right now, UW, no. Recruiting-wise, West Coast?
That speaks to me. I mean, if there's one thing I understand, it's knowing where the cool club is. Always on top of that.
The reason why I brought that up to you, because you and I have had many conversations about Thursday nights. Let's be real. Thursday nights in college is the greatest day in the history of days.
I mean, you say that. I would argue that there was no difference between Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, or any other night. They were all exactly the same, at least when I was in college, as far as I remember anyway. All right.
So they just got to win.
All right, let's talk a little NFL football, Seahawks as well.
Yeah.
What needs to happen for Russell Wilson to win an MVP this year?
The defense is going to have to play up to par. Think about a roller coaster, right? Think about a roller coaster going up to the top. Tick, 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 right? That's been Russell Wilson's career. He has been continuing to rise and rise and rise. So you probably say, well, when is he coming down? That dude ain't coming down right now. That dude is on top. Read the book by Tim Grover, Winning. Write that down. Winning by Tim Grover. Tim Grover is the person that has been training Russell during the offseason. Russell looks the best that he's ever looked in his entire career. I'm talking about physically, and you could see it play out on the game, this last game they played against the Colts. I think Russell Wilson might be the best that he's ever been. Now, the answer to your question, how can he become the MVP? Well, unfortunately or unfortunately, that's going to rest on the defense. The defense is going to have to come through, right? So a lot of times when there's football teams, they say, oh, the defense is messing it up for the offense, or the offense is messing it up for the defense. Well, that's the beauty in football. Everything is connected, special teams, defense, and offense. So back to the answer to your question, I believe that if the defense is able to be – I don't even think the defense has to be great. If the defense is able to be average, which – I think that they will, because let's be real, it's Pete Carroll, and this defense has always come through. I think number three, curly hair. Wait, does he still got curly hair? Russell Wilson, man, he is definitely on track to be that. I mean, I thought that game against the Colts, I was surprised. And I think where I was surprised, Mike, is we are so used to seeing this offense have to do incredible things to win, right? Yep. In the past, it was Marshawn Lynch. Oh, did you see Marshawn? Or it was, did you see Tyler Lockett? Oh, my gosh. Or did you see DK Metcalf? This was different.
Yeah, they didn't
this
do anything was, hard. It was right? easy.
It was easy.
Nobody did anything incredible in that game. It's other than the one Lockett catch.
Oh, my gosh.
That was a pretty good catch.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a pretty good catch. And the second touchdown to Lock was a pretty good throw. So it's not like they didn't do anything that was great, but they didn't have to do anything superhuman, right? Because they were just in rhythm.
Bingo. And so if there was a question that I would want to ask Russell, bro, did you sweat in that game? did you even sweat? Because we at home watching, none of us were sweating. None of us were biting our fingernails. None of us had our blood pressure raised.
Do you think Russ sweats at all? Like, in general? He seems like a guy that wouldn't sweat. Like, I know people people know me. Gee, you know this. I sweat out of one armpit. Just my right armpit gets sweaty quickly. The left one does not.
You told people that?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you can't help it. They can see it on the live stream of the show. Like, hey, man, why is your right armpit drenched in sweat and not your left one?
It's nasty.
Dude, I try. I'm allergic to a lot of different deodorants. Like, give me a break. You don't know anything about my life. You don't know how the challenges I lead.
What about your left pit? What's up with that?
It seems to work better. I don't know. I can't tell you why. I'm trying to get Botox in the right pit, but it's expensive. But you can get Botox. It'll help with some of that sweating. Anyway, Russ seems like somebody who just doesn't sweat much at all.
I mean, I think we saw that, right? NFC Championship game, Green Bay here at home, when he threw all those interceptions in the first half and then come out the second half, and they actually won and went to the Super Bowl. So, I mean, I think we saw there he was in year three. So if he wasn't sweating in, he probably isn't sweating now. If there's one thing I want to leave with is this.
You're already leaving. This. Good. Yes, perfect.
Well, I thought
G's a good house guest. He knows when to take himself out. Like, he knows when to come in, and he knows when to leave.
I mean, you know, as long as you have your boy back. Hey, so the one thing I'll leave on this is this. I've been wondering this whole time that when Russell Wilson would get to the top of that roller coaster ride, because that's the thing about it. We don't talk about when players are descending. And by the way, the most untalked about non-news story that happened this week, I want you to check this out. Imagine if Russell Wilson did to the Seahawks what Aaron Rodgers did to the Packers,
mm-hmm.
showed up the first game, only scored 3 points, and quit in the fourth quarter. Could you imagine if Russell did that?
No, because I've never seen Russell quit. I've seen Aaron Rodgers quit before. It wasn't new.
So when we don't talk about when players are coming down on their careers, and they don't want to talk about it, but let's be real. Aaron Rodgers is coming down, even though he's coming off an MVP season. I don't care. We'll see. We'll come back to that and see if I'm right or wrong on that one. Russell is not coming down. I think right now he's at the top, and if there is a time for the Seahawks to win, it's seriously no exaggeration. It's going to be now.
All right.
And next year, these next 2 years.
This is it. This is when he's at his best. All right. I love it. G, thank you. G and Ursula show is every day at 9 o'clock on our sister station, 97.3 Cairo FM. They do a great job, him and Ursula Roytine, who you've known forever as a news anchor here in Seattle. Chef, their producer. They have a really fun, cool show that really, I think, fits our time. So, G, thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, bro.
All right, there you go. G, invited back to the cookout. He's so excited. He brought his potato salad. You don't like potato salad? Are you not a mayonnaise guy? Are you a mayonnaise guy?
I'm a mayonnaise guy, yes.
Good. I don't trust people. Like, I'm always a little worried about people that have this weird mayonnaise phobia. Like, dude, it's a condiment. Why are people so afraid of mayonnaise? It's got a little tang. It's mostly made of oil. Mayonnaise is fantastic. 8:15. Time for Need to Know.
Need to Know.
15 minutes past every hour with Mike Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Seahawks back in action on Sunday and finally back at home in what feels like forever. So nice to get them at what is now Lumen Field. Yes, the name of the stadium has changed since they last played here. Fans will be in the building, which, I don't know, at least for me, I kind of got used to the whole no fans thing last year. I'm not saying I preferred it, but I stopped noticing that there weren't fans there. And then occasionally I would see shots from previous years of fans going crazy and how close they were together. And I'll admit, at times last year, I was like, ooh, that just looks weird to me again. Like, oh, seeing all those fans pressed up against each other. It doesn't seem weird to me at all now. I mean, I've been to baseball games since then. I've been in some crowded spots. And I cannot wait to see what it looks like and how excited this fan base will be to see their team. And for a lot of these players, they'll be the first time the player and fan are together in the same building. Veterans, Jordan Brooks, Damian Lewis, Alton Robinson, all have not been around this fan base. By the way, neither has El Prez. Neither has Jamal Adams, who wants to hear people yelling, Prez! Throughout the game. So hopefully that will catch on. I think he may have a little long way to go to make that work. But yeah, first game back in action. Make sure you have to either be vaccinated and bring your card, or you can put that up on the Clear app ahead of time, or you've got to have proof of your negative COVID test. Children under 12 are not required to do either, and everybody has to wear a mask. As for the injury report and getting to this game in particular, 125 start against Tennessee. For the most part, still pretty good health for the Seahawks, although seeing Damian Lewis's name emerge as a non-participant yesterday has to be a little bit nerve-wracking. Starting left guard has played very well through his first season and into this year. He's been a really steady presence, and it's not a position where they have a lot of depth. So making sure that Damian Lewis is good to go would definitely help. It'll also be another opportunity for us to see just what Shane Waldron has in store for us. This will be the first game where there is tape of the Seahawks for the other coordinator to study. So seeing what else he has in his sleeve or up his sleeve, I think we'll get a good chance to find that out together on Sunday.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Well, Mariners will get back in action tonight there in Kansas City. Jerry DePoto saying yesterday that they pretty much have to win out. Now, I think he was referring to series. They definitely have to win every series. Maybe he just meant every game. I mean, it's pretty close to being accurate. The road to the playoffs is definitely a challenging and probably unlikely one. There are four games out as the day begins. New York lost yesterday. Red Sox and Blue Jays were off. The A's won. Look, even if they don't make the playoffs, there's still plenty to accomplish this year. I would say battling to the end will be important. I do want them to treat each game as a true competitive September affair. I think there's been value in them learning about that, and we'll discuss that coming up here in about 10 minutes. Even if they get eliminated, and once they get eliminated, I still want to see them playing hard. It's the equivalent of J.P. Crawford running out a ground ball in the ninth down 10. It's just the way this team has been wired, so I expect them to play hard. On the other hand, Is there an opportunity to maybe even have one or two more players get a little taste of what the major leagues looks like? And in our conversation with Jerry DePoto yesterday, he did mention that Julio Rodriguez is, quote, on the doorstep. Well, he's dominating Double-A, so what does it mean to be on the doorstep? Could it mean that he's ready for Triple-A? Or would there be any value in letting Julio at least sniff the big leagues for a game or two before the season ends just to see what it looks like? Just to give him a sense of the level he's trying to get to, because the hope is he is there by at least the middle of next season. They will get back to it, as we mentioned tonight. They take on Kansas City. We got a 5:10 first pitch. 4 o'clock pregame show on 710 ESPN. Seattle, Chris Flexen goes against Brady Singer.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Thursday night action last night, and we know every football game gets a hero. It was Taylor Heinicke's turn. He wins the game for Washington as he drives his team down the field for what eventually became a late field goal. I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer. Let's not get carried away in the Taylor Heinicke hype train. He did survive an interception on the second to last drive of the game. Then his team missed a field goal on what would have been the last play. Lucky for them, a guy named Dexter Lawrence jumped off sides, and then their kicker, Dustin Hopkins, got a second chance to make the kick, which he did. Washington beats New York. Man, the NFC East. Woo! Throw out the records. Yes, please. Literally, throw out the records. They are not a good division. Neither Washington nor New York is a very good team. One of three bad divisions in football. The NFC North, NFC East, as we said, and the AFC South, all pretty lousy. And three of those teams are guaranteed to make the playoffs, because that's the way the system works. In the meantime, Seahawks will have to fight it out in a very tough division with Arizona, L.A., San Francisco. If you're looking around the NFL, some pretty good matchups this weekend. Pittsburgh and Vegas I like. I like Kansas City, Baltimore. And I like the Cowboys and Chargers. Those are three things you need to know.
We had people texting in all about mayo now. Maybe we should be ranking.
Gerard Mayo.
Ranking best condiments.
OJ Mayo.
A lot of people, how much they love G as well. It's good to have.
Who doesn't
G
love there. G? Seriously. If you don't love G, I don't love you.
I was going to say, we met him the one time by the coffee. He's like, you're G, right? It's like, there's no way it's not going to be G. And he goes, yeah, what's your name? And I was like, hey, I'm Justin. I just started over at Mike Salk. And he just immediately was like, we've known each other for a year.
Of course. Yeah. Did he give you a nickname yet?
Not yet. I'm all working right on
that. That won't take long.
Okay.
Do you have a nickname, Maura?
From G? I don't know. I don't think so. I know G, Shannon's Queen Bee.
Yes. He's a big nickname guy. Yeah. And then Kathy, our boss, is the boss lady, which happened even before she was the boss. It's like he knew she was going to become the boss. Yeah. G's big nickname guy. I do love G. He honestly is just... You would love him even more if you knew him. Seriously, he's a truly warm person. He's incredibly supportive of people. He just has a joy that he brings anytime he's around. I wish he was in the building more often, just because he does bring a joy. So, yeah, we'll try to talk to G every Friday. He and I just kind of enjoy going back and forth. And usually he just calls to give me grief about the Mariners, so I didn't even give him the chance. We stalled to give him no opportunity to give me enough grief about the Mariners. So.
Do you have a nickname? Does he call you Michael? I know Groz calls you Michael.
Groz does. I don't know. I don't know whether G is a nickname for me. If I do, it's probably so mean that he can't repeat it. So I've never heard it. It's more of a behind your back kind of a nickname.
And I like the professor is now JC because of G.
Yeah, he does call him JC. Texter is suggesting more of the Explorer. I don't know. I don't know if that quite works.
More the Explorer.
That might have been a thing that he said at one point. Yeah,
oh, really?
I remember. Yeah. Well, because we used to work together with John Clayton on his show. Yeah.
Yeah. That was fun when G used to work with John. They're definitely an odd couple put together. But honestly, he does do a good job. That G and Ursula show is a lot of fun. You can hear it on 97.3 Cairo FM. All right. The Mariners are not going to make the playoffs in all likelihood. And in some ways, that's their own fault. The question I have is, should they have worked harder to make the playoffs this year, or did they handle it the right way? I'll try to answer that question. You can as well. 710-710, powered by Mac and Jacks. Heck, if you want to call, you can even call 206-421-3776. It is the Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the Mike Salk Show.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Back in mornings from 6 to 10.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Jump back into some Seahawks talk here in just a couple of minutes. Professor will join me in 15. Find out what's going on with a couple of these injuries. That Damian Lewis one, I don't like that. I don't like hearing about that one. So we'll talk through that with the professor. Jeff Passan's going to join me at 9 o'clock, and I'll ask him the same question that I'll ask you, which is, should the Mariners have tried harder to make the playoffs this year? Should they have tried harder? Should they have done more to try to make the playoffs this year? My answer is going to be no, but I'll let you decide as well. 710-710, it's powered by Mac and Jack's. You can jump on the phones, 206-421-3776. I'll keep coming back to that answer of, and by the way, it's no, but with an asterisk or two. So I'll start with the answer of no, and then I'll give you the little like asterisk that goes on at the end. I think they tried the right amount. I really, truly believe in what is written in their baseball ops office, which is patience is the shortcut. You cannot jump the line. You've got to get good before you're ready to be great. And I thought this year they took some real steps to being good, to building up the base of the house, to building up the foundation so that they could the next step will be to go from good to great. And that's its own challenge. I don't think they were ready to do that this year. And any additional resources they would have thrown at it would have come at the expense of their future. And I don't believe they were ready for that. Making the playoffs would be great. You have to do that in order to win the World Series. Don't get me wrong. But does anybody look at this Mariners team this year and say they were about to win the World Series? With a little bit of extra investment, if they win three or four more games this year, do you think they're a World Series team? I don't. Not when I look around the league, not when I see Houston, not when I see Chicago, not when I see the teams in the National League, like the Dodgers, the Giants, who have been out of control, Tampa. Like, it's hard for me to imagine that they are a not just a playoff team, but a World Series team if you just add in another player or two. They're getting close. But you've got to, you know, part of this year was giving Jared Kelnick, Cal Raleigh, Jake Fraley, some of these young guys enough at-bats, Logan Gilbert, to allow them to next year and the year after not be rookies. Baseball's weird. It's different from other sports. And I'm going to see if I can get you some numbers on this next week because I've asked a couple of people to run some numbers for me. And essentially my question was, what is the percentage of gain you would reasonably expect somebody to have from year one to year two to year three? And I know it's going to be different for every player, but if player X is this in year one, what percentage better would you expect them to be in year two just by going through the experience of having been a rookie and starting to understand baseball? How much better would you expect them to be in year three where they've had even more experience? Because it sure seems like veterans are a lot better in general than young players are in baseball. Now, I know there's a lot of sort of problems trying to figure all that out. That's just why I'm not going to do the work. I'm not a scientist. But there's so many smart people in baseball who truly understand analytics and understand numbers and statistics. And so I'll try to get you a formal answer. But we know what our eyes tell us. We know what our gut tells us, which is that rookies struggle. And then as they get older, they get better. It's not a surprise that Mitch Haniger has hit his most number of home runs this year, not 5 years ago. He's gotten better. He understands how pitchers attack him. He understands how to play the game. He's more comfortable. He's more confident. And that's important in baseball. So those at-bats for Jared Kelnick, what did we say it was, Justin? Like 230, 250 at-bats?
Like 280, I
think. He's had so far this year. They're valuable. No, he hasn't had a great year.
Might have been over 300.
But if he had had this year next year, you would be so much more disappointed. So the at-bats that they gave to him, yeah, they might have helped. It might have cost them the playoffs. They might have been better off if they'd given those at-bats to somebody else. But the fact that they went to Kelnick matters for next year. The fact that they gave all those at-bats to Raleigh, they could have gone to Torrens, they could have gone to Murphy, they could have gone to someone else. You would have been better. Cal Raleigh struggled badly at the plate this year. Guess what? It was still valuable. It was worth it. You were trying to do two things at once, which is hard to do, and I give the Mariners credit for, I think, pulling it off pretty well. But should they have tried harder to make the playoffs? 206-421-3776. I'll grab Brian, who is in Boise. What's up, Brian?
Hey, guys. I just want to say thank you. You guys are doing a great job. I really appreciate the station and stuff. And, yeah, the Mariners did the right thing because they're not selling the farm system. And like you said, the Astros, does the back of our lineup scare anybody? No, they need that experience, like you said, Mike.
Yeah.
They need that experience. That Cal Raleigh and Kelnick and those guys need that experience. And, yes, hey, you know what? Maybe next year is we're going to fight for a playoff spot. But like you also said and have been pointed out, we need some front-end pitching, like you've been saying. Like,
well, and they could have done some of that, Brian. Yeah.
One of those.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you for the phone call, Brian.
And they're on.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
All right. All right. Now we're just going to talk over each other. I'm going to hang up because we're struggling. It's probably my fault. Brian's very nice. You can tell. He's from Boise. People from Boise will start you off with a compliment. So, I agree with him, and I will say this, as much as I didn't need them to do any more in terms of bringing in position players this year, et cetera, I do believe that they could have signed another pitcher in the offseason. That's the one thing. It wouldn't have stepped in front of anybody to have also signed, for instance, Taijuan Walker. That would not have stepped in anybody's way. That would not have meant that someone else didn't get a chance this year. I think that you can never have enough pitching. And it would not have been that expensive. That is something I would have liked them to
and
do.
And he wanted to come here? Was that right?
He would have been
was willing
to come here? Yeah. It's all right. 206-421-3776. Troy's in Yakima. What's up, Troy?
Hey, I just like think it's kind of a stupid question, to be honest with you. It's just it's a question that, I mean, how many one-run games have they been in this year? That they've won, what, 31? They've lost, like, what, 7?
I think it's 18. I think it's 31 and 18.
31 and 18?
Yep.
How many games of their season is that? I mean, that's like
It's about 49 games, so it'll end up being a little under one-third of their season.
Yeah, I mean, how could they play any harder than they did?
I don't think anybody says they didn't play harder, Troy, and I appreciate you calling in to tell me it was a stupid question, but with the what I said is, could they have tried harder, meaning the organization, not the players? I hope that was clear. I don't think anybody is pointing to the players and saying you didn't try hard enough. Those guys worked their butt off. The opposite. They maybe over-tried at times this year. The question is, could Jerry DePoto and the organization have invested more in this team to get them over the hump and try to get them into the playoffs this year? That's the question I'm trying to ask, and I'm sorry if that was confusing. I don't mean the players didn't try hard enough.
So something I brought up yesterday to you, and maybe I'm sorry if this is too far off the topic, but were Ackley and Zunino given the same rope that Kelnick and Raleigh were?
Yes.
You think so?
Yes.
Okay.
If anything, Ackley was given too much rope. Right. I mean, they gave Ackley forever once it was very clear that he was not a good player. They gave Zunino all kinds of rope, and eventually, you know, they were ready to move on and try it a different way. By the way, so did Tampa. Tampa let him go and then brought him back. I mean, like, he's not still there under his rookie contract. They eventually let him go, and he had a much better year this year. Finally, here's another good example of how long it takes before guys, and especially a catcher. Raleigh's a great example. Not just a catcher, but a switch-hitting catcher. Takes a long time. All right, good conversation there in the Mariners. I wanted to play you guys something that's kind of jumping back and forth, but did you hear this yesterday on the huddle? Just a minute. I'm going to try to play this for you. It just cracked me up. I love the personalities that you get, especially in the secondary. Every team I've ever been on when I was a kid, the secondary was always sort of where the personalities came from. And Ryan Neal, who I think is a pretty good little player as a safety, was on the huddle here on 710 ESPN Seattle yesterday with Jake and Stacy and Dave Wyman, and he was asked about both Quandre Diggs and Jamal Adams. This dude's a riot.
Speaking of Quandre, Ryan, does he talk as much trash in person as he does on Twitter? Because he's champ.
He don't stop. It's 24/7. I mean, if Quandre were to get put in the casket, you'll probably hear mumbling from the casket. I mean, he's not going to stop. That's the type of dude he is. So, yeah, he's nonstop trash talker.
What about, so I don't know, I could never do that because I'd get too tired, like in between plays. I'm gasping it, you know, but some guys can just go, and it seems like the same thing with Jamal Adams. I mean, that guy stops.
Oh, never stop. I mean, he goes all four quarters from the beginning to the very, very end. You will hear 33 out there yelling, screaming. I mean, that's just him. He even does it in walkthrough. I mean, you just see he did it today. He's just yelling at people at walkthrough. I'm like, man, this dude is crazy. I mean, both of them, they both crazy. I mean, I guess it's that Texas bloodline or something, but, you know, that's just how they roll, man. That's how they roll.
Dude, that's like the third time I've listened to that clip, and I've laughed every single time. Ryan Neal's funny.
Oh, my gosh. He is hilarious. We talked to him, I think, on Wyman and Bob right after his first game, and he was talking about just, like, sitting in his car afterwards and trying to process it and how many calls and texts he got. He's so fun.
Then,
obviously, Diggs and Adams are fun, too, so it's just
hilarious
to hear him talk about them.
Well, and how fired up are they going to be, right? I mean, to see them together in this building for the first time, we know how excited Adams is for that to happen. So, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun on Sunday. We'll ask John Clayton some questions about it, including a one injury that popped up yesterday that could be a significant problem because of where it occurred. We'll ask John next. The professor joins me on the Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
John Clayton's Morning Drive, every morning at 8:45 on the Mike Salk Show.
I thought you saw a lot of good things out of offense. I think that was a very positive sign.
The first and final word on everything NFL from the professor, John Clayton.
It just amazes me. I give it credence, but not total credence.
It's John Clayton's Morning Drive with Mike Salk.
Good morning, John.
Good morning, Mike.
How are we doing?
Good. Enjoying the fact that we've had 17 football games so far, and I think 10 of them have been determined by one possession or less. I mean, a really close football game.
How are you enjoying the Taylor Heinicke era?
He looked good last night.
Looked okay.
Yeah.
He did throw a crucial pick, and they should have lost the game by, you know, the missed field goal. I mean, like, if that guy misses the field goal, are we talking about Taylor Heinicke today?
Probably not. Okay. No, probably not. But again, the thing I wonder with Taylor Heinicke, I mean, okay, so he has, I mean, is he good in a lager, or what kind of
right.
draft beer is he?
I don't know. I don't know what they do in Washington.
Yeah, I know. It's like,
I don't know what the beer scene's like there.
Yeah, well, you figure it should be okay, but
yes.
Again, it's just so different. But no, I thought, I mean, Daniel Jones did a lot of good things. I mean, he got sacked too many times, but I thought that
he overthrew a receiver in the end zone by about 2 feet, which would have, you know, been another score for them.
Well, how about
those guys, John?
How about the Heinicke interception?
Yeah,
I mean, here they are. You know, that's 2:06 remaining. And Heinicke has the ball deep in his own territory, and he throws a pick right to that sets up what could have been the game-winning field goal.
No, I know it was. Look, those two teams are bad.
Yeah.
I mean,
I
don't know how else to say it. Three of the eight divisions in the NFL are bad, outright bad. I mean, you've certainly talked about the NFC North and the AFC South a few times, but don't you have to throw the NFC East in there? Dallas might be good. The other three teams are definitely not good.
Right.
You have four bad divisions in the NFL.
Yeah, and again, more of them in the NFC than there are the AFC.
Yeah.
That's the thing that's so strange about it, because and that bodes well for Seattle if all these divisions in the NFC, for the most part, aren't going to be good. Because, I mean, you look at the NFC North, I mean, what? They were 0-4 this past week.
Mm-hmm. John, Damian Lewis, it looked like the Seahawks were really the picture of health, and then all of a sudden yesterday his name shows up. He's the left guard, rookie last year, started every game. What's the outlook for a groin injury on Damian Lewis?
You got to worry about it, because, again, it's like a groin injury in the middle of the week. I mean, you know how cautious Pete Carroll is going to be with any kind of an injury. That's got to be a big blow, particularly, too, knowing where they are at the center position. I mean, Ethan Posick goes on injured reserve. You know, it was going to be easier for Kyle Fuller or any center to be able to work when you have Damian Lewis on one side and Gabe Jackson on the other side. And now if he's not going to be there, and also the fact that you don't know if Jamarco Jones is going to be there because he's on the injury list, that to me is really concerning.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm hoping that it was just sort of a one-day thing and that we at least see him as a partial participant today, right? And then my guess is he'll be questionable, and then we'll kind of take it up to game time. But, yeah, he's been a really good, solid player for them. I don't know if he's, like, the best guard in the league, but he's good. And based on what we had seen before he got here, he really solidified that spot for them, and their offensive line was a strength in game one.
No doubt, because, again, I mean, last year he was considered to be, you know, if not the best rookie guard, one of the best rookie guards, and, you know, that was encouraging. And, of course, this year, you know, picking up Gabe Jackson, putting him at a right guard, they move him over to left guard, and you see in week one he looked natural in his ability to be able to handle that. So now, I mean, they need him. There's no question about it. I mean, you know, you look at the the defensive line for Tennessee, and okay, you got to worry a little bit about that because, you know, Simmons is a real good defensive tackle. Now, they made two changes at defensive end, and you look at the changes they made last year that didn't work out. You know, they ended up paying $22.5 million to two pass rushers, Jadeveon Clowney and Vic Beasley, and didn't even get a sack. You know, so, you know, you can survive, but, you know, right now that's got to be a big concern because you need the blocking on the offensive line.
Yeah. John, elsewhere in the NFC West, you got Rams, Colts, Niners, Eagles, and Cardinals, Vikings. Of those three, any chance that we're not looking at 3-0 once again, you know, the whole division being 2-0?
No, I think there's a good chance. I mean, I still worry about San Francisco and their injuries because they just keep on mounting up. Like yesterday, Dre Greenlaw. One of
I saw that. He's going to be out like 4 to 6 weeks, right?
6 to 8.
Whoa, man. Like, yeah, he's a really good player.
Yeah. And then, of course, you know, they lose their best cornerback and Jason Verrett. I mean, he's going to be out for the season with an ACL tear. We'll see if Emmanuel Mosley's going to be able to play. I mean, they just keep getting injury after injury. Now, certainly, you think the Rams are going to be in good shape because, you know, the Colts, they hope to have Eric Fisher back, but is that going to be enough for the offensive line? Because the offensive line played so poorly, and is there anybody there that can block Aaron Donald?
John, over the years, I know you've studied injuries as much as anybody, and it always seems like there are teams each year that get a ton, right? Where it just gets concentrated at one team. Have you ever come up with a pattern or a reason why certain teams have a lot of injuries and significantly more than everybody else, or is it just random?
No, there's a couple reasons. Like, for example, they had that history with the Chargers, and part of the reason is that the general manager, Tom Telesco, liked to take smaller type players because Tom Telesco is a Bill Polian guy, and Bill Polian, didn't want to take necessarily the biggest players. I mean, he was interested more in speed and everything else, and so when you take smaller players, they're a little bit more vulnerable to injuries. In the case of San Francisco, in the back of my mind, what I wonder about, does Kyle Shanahan practice them too hard? Because, they've had this history, and certainly they've already gone through for like 3 or 4 years with a lot of injuries. Last year, they had 131 missed starts, and, part of it was because of COVID-19, but more than anything else, it was the injuries in the defensive line. And so you wonder about that. And like, Philadelphia, I mean, they were quite injured last year. So I think there's just patterns on certain teams. I know that, for example, going back to San Francisco, talking to John Lynch even said that this year he made it a point not to draft injured guys from college. Because one of the things that happens, if you're injured in college, you tend to come up to the pros and also get injured. So, no, I think, there's reasons for it, but also, too, sometimes the training staff doesn't do a good job.
You got your raincoat ready for Sunday?
I'm debating right now, whether to go because...
What?
Because here's the problem.
I thought you were doing... Aren't you on the sideline?
Well, I do the sidelines.
Okay.
Yeah, so? But again, if it's going to be 4 hours of rain... And if it's going to pour like we're expecting it to be, if that carries through, what I'm worried about is being out there for 4 hours and bringing a cold back to Pat.
Ah.
That's something I cannot do.
Understood.
And so it's like I've got to monitor it.
Yes. But
if the rain is going to start to diminish by Sunday, then I'm definitely there.
Understood. John, I hope things go well for you. I hope the rain lays off, and I hope you and Pat have a good weekend, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, there you go. There's John Clayton, the professor, with me every day at 8:45. It's a new time for him. John Clayton's Morning Drive now at 8:45 every day here on the new Mike Salk Show. We're just about done with our second week here, right? We got one more hour left in our second week on the air. It's starting to feel routine. At least to me. I don't know about you guys out there. It feels like it's a routine for me. Hopefully it's becoming a routine for you. Hopefully your Apple podcasts are working. Some people say it is. I don't know what's going on with the Apple podcast.
I currently have our favorite engineer over my shoulder, so I'm sorry that I can't answer you so, right.
Fast. Tell me you have our engineer. Vern, fix Apple podcasts. What are you doing in there? We need Apple podcasts. We got a problem with Macklemore. We had an issue with the music. What's going on in this joint?
He's the best.
All right. Vern is the best. All right. Jeff Passan. You want to talk about somebody who's negative about everything. That's Jeff Passan. He's a longtime friend. He and I generally see things the same way. But we will talk because this Mariners season is at a bit of a turning point. Want to hear what he's seen and also where Jared Kelnick goes from here. A few other good questions for Jeff. We will do it next. The famous wet blanket. Jeff Passan joining me in the Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.